wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. I don't have to do it. True, very true. Man's spirit has always been one of defiance and rebellion whenever he's told what he must do. This has characterized our race since the Garden of Eden, and it has marked the path of each member of the human family since childhood. Hence, parents must not only tell their offspring what to do, but also what will happen if they don't do it. And governments must not only make their laws, but also attach to them the penalties when they're broken. And even an army with its stern commands must have it do it, or else. And arranging the penalties for not obeying, the penalties must be severe, and so severe that the person will count it wiser to obey. If the penalty is light, then it encourages a disregard for the law. If a person could steal $10 and just pay $1 fine, he would count stealing a paying business. God's law on stealing was to restore four times that stolen. So to steal $10 and have to pay back $40 would stop the stealing business, and that was God's purpose. Light penalties increase crime and condone crime. Why does the state make the fine high and attach a term in prison? Is it because it wants to abuse its citizens? No, but it's because the state wants its citizens to be law-abiding. And is God some big bully wanting to afflict man because he has a hell fire for those who defy his laws? Nay, verily. But it is the expression of his great desire and effort to get man to walk in the paths of righteousness for God's glory and for his own good. So he tells man of the price of rebellion and the certainty of God's retribution without respect to persons, saying, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." He hides it not. Children sometimes get to know what will happen to them if they disobey, but they think they can hide their deed. But none can hide from God. Citizens see the jails full of criminals, but they think that some friendly politician will relieve them of their sentence. But God will judge according to every man's works, regardless of who may intercede for you, be he a Christian parent, a pastor, a rabbi, or a priest. But notwithstanding all these well-known facts, yet men everywhere continue ignoring the laws of God and defying his commands. And when a preacher upbraids them with this, they abruptly answer, "I don't have to do all that." And to this I reply, "True, very true, you do not have to do all that. God has made you sovereign of your own will, and you may choose to obey God or defy your almighty Creator. Moreover, you may do so and then go your own way thinking you're smart. You became so big in your own eyes when you told your parents that you were going to live as you wanted to, regardless of them. And you chuckle and brag of all your disregard for law and order. You're like the young driver who boasts of the scores of red lights he ran under. He forgets that the traffic lights are not only to protect others, but they're there to shield him from accident, too. Then he does it once again, but that was his last one. For a truck smashes into him, and he not only sees stars at the crash, but he opens his eyes not on earth, but in eternity, and he finds he was not so smart after all." Pharaoh was one of that kind. God told him what he must do, and in defiance he answered, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I will not." Pharaoh thought, "I don't have to do it." That was true. God does not force his will. But when Pharaoh smarted under God's "or else," he started to comply and do as God told him. But then he turned back to his old defiance. Maybe you too have smarted under the bitter wages of your sins and seen your God defiance to be costly business. You too started to comply, only to drop back into your old paths of rebellion against God. And that did it. God smote defiant Pharaoh. But the Red Sea that swallowed up Pharaoh did not rid the earth of all such God-defiant fools. The world is full of them today. Are you one of them? Let us see. God says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength and all thy mind. What about this, my neighbor? Do you answer? I don't have to love God. I love my sins and I love the world and I love myself. To love God with all my heart would mean for me to turn from loving the world and loving myself. I don't have to love God and I'm not going to. True, God isn't going to make you love him. But if instead you love the world, it will do for you as for the prodigal son and take all you've got and then kick you out to live in a hog pen and perish in hunger. True, you can go on loving your sins, charmed with their thrills, while they wind around you with their captivating chains like a great boa constrictor snake, preparing for the final squeeze to break you with its grip of death. True, you may go on loving and pampering yourself to get right with God. You know, would be for you to abhor yourself and repent in dust and ashes. But you have chosen to live for self, even to gratify your basest desires, while still in pride, exalting yourself, quite forgetting that one day God will expose your countless abominations to all created intelligence, and they shall hiss you in shame, and the angels will seize you and cast you into God's lake of fire forever. To love this world, to love sin, and to love yourself instead of loving God will bring its awful penalty of which God has so faithfully warned you. And the Bible says, now God commands all men everywhere to repent. But you react, I don't have to repent. True, very true. And God will not force you to repent. But if you do not repent, our Lord Jesus Christ said, I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all perish. That is, to die and to go to hellfire forever. That's why the Bible says, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God commands you to repent, for he does not want you to perish. But when your rebellion makes you so stupid, you say, I don't have to repent. You are deliberately choosing to perish in your sins and go to hellfire. It is your choice and not God's for you. God is disgusted with your rebellion, and he demands that you surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master, and King. And so confessing with your mouth, lay down your sword of rebellion and pride and surrender your will and your whole body, soul, and spirit to Jesus Christ to obey and serve him. But still, you may hold out and say, I don't have to confess Jesus, my Lord. That is true for now. But one day God will manifest his now risen and enthroned Son, Jesus Christ, as the Lord of all. And before him every knee must bow, and every tongue confess the eternal lordship of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. To submit to him now will break your pride and leave you with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. But to refuse will consign you to that eternal crushing under the wrath of Almighty God, without mercy and without let up forever. God declares that no man can save himself, and all the devices of man in religion are futile, leaving you and all men lost and without God and having no hope. God reveals the one and only Savior to be Jesus Christ, who offered the one sacrifice for sins and arose from the dead. God insists that you forsake all others, whether churches, religions, or your own self-sufficiency, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and entrust your soul, your all, to him to save you, now and forever. Would you dare to react saying, I don't have to trust in Jesus Christ and I'm not going to do so? True, very true. But if you turn away from Christ, what have you to trust? Your church? No church ever saved one soul yet. Your religion? Religion has made thousands of devilish hypocrites, but never made one heavenly saint yet. What? Trust yourself? Hold it there. Look at your body. Pain, disease, affliction, or a malady takes a hold of you. Now see what you can do before these. Nothing. You call on hospitals and doctors to help you, only to find that vain is the help of man. Your body, your very breath, is in the hand of Almighty God. Since you are so helpless in your bodily distresses, how could you save that precious eternal soul of yours? If you don't trust Jesus with your soul, then you must live your days here in wretched hopelessness, knowing that the big showdown is just ahead, when you, without a Savior, will plunge into eternity with a cry of despair and the wail of the lost forever. Yes, it is true. You do not have to love God. You do not have to repent of your sins. You do not have to surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord. You do not have to trust Him as your Savior. And I'm not trying to make you do so. You don't have to. You may go on your own way still, but I hope you will awaken from your stupidity. You do not have to, but you can, of your own will and choice, decide wisely and turn to God in repentance and receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. How do you proceed? The Bible answers, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him." You're on your own. You must seek the Lord. You must call upon Him for yourself. What will happen if you do? I warn you, God will seem as one afar off, deaf to your appeals. Realizing this, you'll feel despair gripping you as you say, "I must be too late. My time to repent must have run out." Then what? Pour out your heart to God. Tell Him of your rebellion and stubbornness, your pride and your defiance of Him. Tell Him you deserve to be ignored by Him as you have ignored Him all these years. But don't stop. His word says, "Ye shall find me, saith the Lord, when ye search for me with all your heart." So cry to Him, "Oh God, I'm lost. Please have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, I call on Thy name. Save me, even me. I want Thee to be my Lord and my Savior from this day forward, as I now entrust myself to Thee." When you do this, a heavenly peace will fill your soul. The load of your sin and guilt will go, and you can cry, "Lord Jesus, I thank Thee for saving me, even me. Lord Jesus, I want to live for Thee. What can I do for Thee?" Your friends will see a transformation, not just in your talk, but your very spirit shall be different, and your life too. This is God's great salvation in His glorious Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May all this be your personal experience today, now, and forever. Not because you have to, but because it is your own choice and decision. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you by His servant David Brinkman.